Man, give the Lord a hand clap today. Praise the Lord. Now that will lift you emotionally. God wants to touch you spiritually much deeper than that. I want to talk to you just a little while about weathering the storms of life, because we all are going to encounter storms. There's no one exempt from that. Christian life is going to have many storms. You make a real enemy in the devil. And one of the ways that he brings storms is through people and circumstances. You know, you can change jobs if the job is being too much of a pressure, but you can't change families. Amen? And I'm not just talking about your physical family. I'm talking about your spiritual family. We're family. I mean, we may not act like it sometimes, but we are family. Amen. The word brethren is found over 300 times in the New Testament in one form or the other, because we're a family. And it means from the same womb. It's genuine family going on here. Praise God. I like what one preacher said about that. He said, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or Church of Christ, Church of God, amen, we're from the same womb. We're womb mates. If you really know Christ as your Savior, you're part of a family of God. Satan uses people. Weak Christians can be easily used by the devil to discourage other people, to stir up trouble. He uses them. Peter, of all people, Jesus said, I must. He's telling him what he came here to accomplish. If he failed in this mission, all of the healings, all of the miracles, all of the teachings would have been in vain, because there was no way to save fallen man except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, I must be handed over to men. And Peter jumped in, impetuous Peter, and said, Lord, be it far from thee. Literally, in the Greek, it meant, Lord, think of yourself. Do you know what they'll do to you if you just give yourself over to them? Think of yourself. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't think of himself? Amen. Well, who was behind all of that? Who was really prompting Peter without his knowledge? It must have shocked Peter, silenced him immediately, when Jesus turned to him and said, get thou behind me, Satan. He wasn't calling Peter demonic. He wasn't calling Peter the devil. He knew who was behind this. Peter didn't know, but Jesus knew, and he said, get thou behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that are of God, thou savorest the things that are of men. Amen. Can you say amen? The indulgences of men, the selfishness of men, the self-seeking of man in this fallen world, it's a self-centered world. It's the me generation. And we're in it right now. And there's a brand of Christianity that is to indulge the person. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's not part of that anymore. It's indulge yourself. Come to Christ and indulge yourself. Instead of come to Christ and deny. Oh, by the way, when anyone hears deny themselves, they think they're going to have to give up something. They need to be happy. No, you're going to have to give up that can never make you happy to receive that cannot fail to make you happy. Can you say, man, if money could make you happy, then there would be some happy millionaires. Where are they? Ever getting, but never having enough. They asked John D. Rockefeller, which used to be one of the richest. Now Bill Gates has him and a bunch of other people. But they asked him, and they said, what would make you happy if you could have anything? You've got everything, but is there something that you feel would make you happy? He said, more money. Isn't that an amazing truth? Ever getting, but never having enough. You see ministers build $3 million homes and then $6 million homes, and you see lives that begin to come apart. I understand that Benny Hinn is in a process of trying to be reconciled to his wife. But before that process began, I remember him saying, because he has a multi-million dollar mansion, he said, I've got this big old house. He said this, I've got this big old house. He said, but my wife and family are gone. And he said, when I walk in that big old house and I'm all alone, he said, I can't enjoy it. Well, of course you can't, because the stone and the mortar and the glass and the appliances and all of the stuff can't bring happiness without love and without relationship. Can you say amen? I don't know when we'll ever get it, that it's not about the stuff. It's about love, and it's about Christ, and it's about our families, and it's about the things that really matter in life. Brother Taylor, every time you sing that song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His. It's not that I don't need money to pay my bills with. I need it. You need it. But if you go after the riches and not after Jesus, and you miss the riches, the true riches, if you don't have peace, you're poor. You're dirt poor. I don't care what kind of car you drive or suit you wear or watch you wear. If you don't have God's peace and God's joy, you're poor. Jesus came to the richest church in Asia, the church of Laodicea. They were so satisfied with their wealth. Look what we've got. They didn't even let Jesus in the door of the church. This wasn't to sinners. This was to a church that had put wealth. They were a sinful church because they put wealth above the kingdom of God. People are doing it right now. People are selling out the kingdom for wealth. And you know what? They're putting their money. If they're a Christian, you know what the chastisement is for that as a covenant person? You put your money into bags with holes. You can compromise, never be in church, work yourself, fingers to the bone, and all you get is bony fingers. Can you say amen? Amen. You put your money in bags with holes. You know what that means? It don't go nowhere. And it doesn't produce happiness or fulfillment. Can you say amen? You're working yourself down to get that newest thing. That newest thing is more important than God's kingdom righteousness, kingdom peace, and kingdom joy. No, it isn't. Because it can't make you right with God. It can't give you this peace, and it can't buy you this joy. This peace is not for sale in the marketplace. Bill Gates cannot buy, amen, this peace. Can you say amen? But it's available to you and me for nothing. It's a gift. It's one of the great gifts of salvation. Being right with God. We have peace with God. That tension between us and a holy God. The Bible said everyone that believes not the wrath of God, the justifiable anger of God abides on him. But the moment you come to Jesus, hallelujah, that tension is broken. God told ancient Israel, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Amen. My hand is not short that it cannot deliver and save you. But your sins have separated between you and your God. When your sins are forgiven, there's nothing separating between you and your God. The veil is rent from top to bottom. You can come to God with your needs, and God can come to you with the answer. Can you say amen? There's great peace in knowing that. There was a preacher told the true story about encountering a hurricane in the Atlantic on one of these luxury liner ships. He and the captain were visiting, and after the ship had safely skirted the outer edge of the storm, the captain of the ocean liner said that he lived by this philosophy. This is what he said about this storm. That if the sea is calm, it will get rough. It ain't going to stay calm. The nature of the sea. Storms are going to come and go. If it's calm, it's going to get rough. Hey, folks, if outwardly everything is calm, I hate to burst your bubble. It's going to get rough. If the sea is calm, it will get rough. And if it gets rough and you ride out the storm, it will get smooth again. If you ride out the storm, can you say amen? Then the captain added, but if you've got a good ship, you can ride it out. You can ride it out if you've got a good ship. Can you say amen? You know, we used to sing that song. I just can't help but think of it right now. I have good news to bring. That is why I sing. My joy with you, I'll share. I plan to take a trip. Well, I'm doing more than planning to take a trip. I'm en route. Hallelujah. I'm en route. I'm on my way. Can you say amen? I planned to take a trip on the good old gospel ship. And one day, that ship's going to go sailing through the air. But right now, we're on our way. I'm on my way to Canaan land. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you've got a good ship, you can ride it out. Christian victory never is not never encountering stormy seas. It is the ability through God's grace and power to weather the storm, to ride it out. Praise God. Riding out the storm of pressure is so important. Because in this world, you'll have tribulation, thelpsis, which means pressure, affliction, anguish, burdened, persecution, and trouble. All of the above. That's what it means in the Greek. Let me go through it again. Everybody say it with me. Pressure.
Pressure.
Affliction.
Affliction.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of. You can ride it out. Come on, if you ride it out, he will bring you through it. Can you say, man, pressure, affliction, anguish, burden, persecution, trouble.
In this world, this fallen world, Christ said that will be your experience. You're going to experience trouble. You can't run from it.
You're going to experience pressure, affliction, which really is an overarching term for all these troubles. Many are the afflictions, the persecutions, the temptations, the testings of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That's why he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. I won't let it overcome you if you will put your trust in me. But you've got to give him something to have this peace. Hallelujah. Some of you need to give him the sins, the pet sins, the ones you love too much to let go, the ones you feel like I can't do without. The moment you give that pet sin up, Christ is going to fill that place in your heart. And you ain't going to miss it no more. I've never given up a sin to make room for God's peace and joy and presence in my life. And then pine away over missing the sin. When you get God's presence in your heart and your life, you don't miss that stinking old sin. Can you say amen? You don't walk around saying, oh, Lord, I wish I could go out and shoot up. Amen. Somebody been really delivered by Jesus who invited him into their life and he changed their life. Amen. They don't miss that high on drugs. They got something better than they don't need that to produce a synthetic drug-induced peace. Amen. They have the real peace. Praise God. That comes from Jesus. So how do you ride out the storm of pressure? John 16:33, Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. What a comforting message that is, that God is telling me under pressure to cheer up. To cheer up. That means to take hope. Amen. To have hope in Christ. Amen. If you're in a storm, the storm will cease someday. And if you're in a good ship, you can ride it out. Well, this ain't the good ship lollipop here. Come on, this is not some Shirley Temple fantasy. Amen. This is the gospel ship. This is Jesus, his lordship. He rides upon the storm. Hallelujah. He controls these things. And you know what the Bible said? It said God is in such control, it gets personal and precise. God will not allow you, not all of you, but each one of you individually. He's not talking corporately, collectively, but personally and individually. God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. Amen. Isn't that incredible? He's in control. He's in control. Say it with me. He's in control. Boy, part of riding out that storm is acknowledging that there's a God who sits on the circle of the earth. And we're his children and he's in control. And he is able because of that to make all things even the pressure I was under yesterday, work together for good to them that love him and are the called according to his purpose. He said what the devil meant for evil. Joseph said, look at all this. Look at him. Look at him. We're in the South. Amen. Let me talk to you this morning. Praise God. Amen. I serve God. I obtain God's favor. I'm right with God. And my brothers get jealous of me because my daddy brought me this pretty checkered coat. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. God's hand's on me. His favor is on me. So his brothers get together and say, let's kill him. Out of jealousy. If you don't do good, they're going to criticize you for not being good enough. If you do very good, they're going to get jealous of you for being too good. You just got to give up on pleasing people and set yourself to please the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen? You can't please everybody. Jesus couldn't. And we certainly know better than him. Amen? Some of you in here, I'm telling you. This message is for you because standing very near you, not in the shadows, but very near you, Christ is very near you today. He wants to give you this peace. He wants to lift that heavy burden. He wants you to walk out of here with a new lease on life. He wants you to have the joy of the Lord as your strength because without it, none of us can stand up to the pressure. I'm not Superman. If I open my shirt right now, I don't have a blue jumpsuit with a big red S on it. Amen. I'm a human being. I'm susceptible to the same feelings of anybody else. When I'm criticized, it hurts. When I'm persecuted, I feel it. When the enemy attacks, pressure builds until peace comes to relieve it. I've seen people not obtain God's peace but get rid of pressure temporarily in a Holy Ghost anointed service. And they shout the house down. My wife used to take preserves and to get them to click and put them in that pressure cooker and or whatever. I don't know how you. Anyway, you turn them upside down. But anyway, I've seen her use the pressure cooker before. And it's got something on it to keep that thing from blowing the lid off, hurting somebody. By the way, if people don't get rid of that pressure, lid's going to blow. They're going to blow their top. They're going to take it out on you. They're going to take it out on me. They're going to take it out on the church. It's got to be somebody's fault. Couldn't be our fault. So we got to find somebody to blame. Church is unkind. The church is unloving. The preacher isn't kind enough. The preacher isn't loving. Some people came to church one time and said, somebody told me you were unkind. I said, I how can I defend myself? I don't even know who it was or what happened. They never told me, so I could apologize. I could have been unkind. I could be unkind. Don't look so sanctimonious. You could too. Amen? So I can't be, but you can be. There's grace for you, but none for me. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You got to cut me some slack while I'm cutting you some slack. I'm human. I'm not Superman. I depend on Jesus. And they said, well, and you know, I was thinking, if I'm that bad, why are you here? What is this all about? Well, they came to do one thing, nail me. Call me up on the phone. I was having a great day and the phone rang. It wasn't about counseling. It wasn't about magnifying Jesus, answering a biblical question. It was so-and-so was really mad at you. Why didn't they tell me? Why didn't they do what the Bible said? See, pressure. You, no matter where you turn. One time, I was fighting bitterness over things. And I was fighting bitterness. I don't want this in my heart. I can't afford this in my heart. I got to get this out of my heart. And I said, Lord, I'm going to have to go away somewhere. I'm going to have to get up. I got to get away from people. I mean, everywhere I turn, somebody's doing something to make me mad. I said, how can I not be mad all the time if people keep doing this? Deliver me. Pastor, how can I pastor? There's people there on Sunday morning. People are coming to church. People are actually going to be there. So where can I go to get away from it? Because somebody's going to come up and let me know how I feel. I said, oh Lord God, this is too much. I want to be free from all this. And then I was reading the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, oh. He said, you know what I'd like? Because Jeremiah preached without one convert. A major prophet. Because God said, I'm not going to judge Israel if I don't send a prophet. You look for a convert. There was none. Did his preaching change anything? Not a thing. They went into captivity in spite of it all. He should have got so-and-so's tape. So-and-so should have been in his shoes. Jesus went into cities where nobody listened to him. He didn't need somebody's tape on how to do it. Jeremiah said, I wish I had me a house. I don't want it in that gated community. There's people there. I don't want it in that condominium. There's people there. I want me a house so far in the wilderness that you can't find it. It ain't on the map. The only way you could find my house would be you got lost in the woods. It happened upon it. And knocked on my door and says, anybody home? And said, we don't want none. Whatever you're selling, take it on down the road. He said, I wish I was out there somewhere. David, he said the same thing. Not only was his son turned against him, talk about pressure, wanting to kill him and take his kingdom, but all a bunch of his countrymen had joined his son's rebellion and wanted to help his son kill him and take the kingdom. And there was more people in his son's army than in his army with him. Amen. He said, that I had the wings of a dove. He said, you know what I would do right now? I would fly away to that mountain. Honey, it wasn't about his kingdom. Oh, I want to stay king. I want to maintain. No, it was wanting getting away from the pressure. He didn't care about the kingdom anymore. I'll leave this kingdom. They can fight over it. Just get me out of the pressure. I would fly away to that mountain and to the wilderness and be at rest. I'd lie on the highest tree on the top of the highest hill. I'd sit down and I'd rest. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. But then he went on to say, he said, but as for me, see, you can't get away from it, but you can get through it. Praise God. You can't run from it. If you start running from churches where things happen, Satan's going to chase you all over this city, all over Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi. If you decide to go north, he'll chase you all over New Hampshire. Can you say amen? It doesn't matter where you go. Amen. Remember this, if you don't get nothing else today. No matter where you go, there you are. Amen. You got to live with yourself. And if you don't have peace in your heart, believe me, amen, you're going to feel the pressure. Praise God. Amen. Listen to me. And he said, but as for me, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. And David was known to speak to himself, his inward man. He said, soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. He's going to turn that frown into a smile. Those worry lines are going to go. He said he's going to lift me up. And David said, I've been in some bad places. I was in a horrible pit. The pit of depression. The pit of discouragement. The pit, amen, where you can't get yourself out of. Said he delivered me from the horrible pit. And he lifted me from the miry clay. He didn't put me on a slippery slope so I keep sliding back in. He put my feet upon a rock. And he put a song in my heart. And the people who are crushed by life are going to hear my heart song and know where God brought me from and say, how can that man sing after what he's been through? It's because he brought me through. Can you say amen? And I'm going to exalt him. I would like to tell you that I am impervious to pressure. I am not. I'm just like you are. Elijah that prayed and God opened heaven and prayed, God shut heaven, prayed, the fire fall and the fire fell. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as ye are. But he prayed in spite of that. And God answered. Can you say, man? He was like us. Don't put anybody on a pedestal. It's always God's grace and our faith that pulls us through things. It's never our strength in and of itself, our faith in and of itself. Thou, O Lord. Let me explain the shield of faith one more time. Because so many people are explaining the shield of faith as a force within you. It's my faith. My faith. No, it's your God, your God, your God, your God, your God, your God. Then Brother Venable, pray tell, what is the shield of faith? I'm glad that you asked. David said, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's not the faith of God, it's faith in God, just like it's written. It's not God's faith, it's God's faithfulness. And your trust in his faithfulness. You're not in the God class. They think they are. They even call themselves little gods. Can't create nothing. Can't create a drop of water. Can't create a tree or a seedling plant. Call themselves in the God class. I don't want to be responsible. For me, I want to be responsible to trust myself to him. That's where my responsibility ends and my father's takes over. Can you say amen? I'm young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. God is faithful to his covenant people if they ever decide to get right with him. Get rid of your pet sin. Get rid of what you're leaning on instead of him. Get rid of your crutch. If it's alcohol, get rid of it. Amen. Seek after God's peace till he come and rain righteousness on you. Because right following righteousness is peace. And right following peace is joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? We're leaning on people too much. We need each other. But don't put too much trust in people keeping you up and shoring you up. People are here to point you to Christ. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the counselor. Jesus is your peace. Jesus is your joy giver. I can't replace Jesus. I won't try. I'll let you down. I can't hold you up. You're too heavy for me. I can't even hold me up. I'm trusting him. Wow. One preacher said, I prayed for people every night. He was in a meeting that was 5 days long, and he said, I noticed something. I was getting exhausted. I preached. I prayed every night for everybody in the room, and there's this big auditorium full of people. He said, I noticed something the third night. It occurred to me. Number one, I'm totally exhausted. If I keep this up, I don't even know if I can continue and finish out. And he said, I noticed the same people coming for the same thing. He said, I said, Lord, what must I do? I don't want to be unkind. I want to be loving. He said, give the people me and give yourself to me. Give Jesus to the people and give yourself to me. Give Jesus to the people and give yourself to me. Because if I tried to be what only Jesus can be to you, not only I can't be that, but I'm going to get exhausted. I can't preach anymore. I can't intercede for you anymore. I can't pray for you anymore. Because I'm worn out and you still haven't got the help you need. At some point, you got to decide the Bible is true. I'm going to put it to work in my life. I'm not going to just listen and go home. I'm going to listen and begin to put it into practice in my life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The word works when you believe it. You act on it. Hallelujah. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He'll sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous. There's that word that keeps reoccurring that ties all this in to be removed. Can you say amen? He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. But the righteous have to do something. They have to give it to God for God to give you his peace. And have to give people to God. But I feel responsible to make everybody happy. I want to quit pastoring now. Because I know, number one, it's impossible for me to keep you happy. And I cannot take that responsibility on me. At some point, the cross of Christ and the man who hung on it has to become more important in your life than your sin, than your distractions, than the things that are disturbing you. That man bleeding and dying has to be more meaningful in your life and mine than petting my pain, that complaining about my pressure. Can you say amen? It has to have a place in our life of more import than that. That man that died deserves your allegiance. That man that died for you deserves your love. Can you say amen? He deserves your trust and mine. And I have to go to him over and over and over and over and over and over again and commit to him. Or I can't preach anymore. I can't. Because I can't even bear my own burden. My own family circumstances. What's going to happen if I take all of yours upon me too? I pray for you. I prayed earnestly yesterday. I probably got too hot. It was a hot day yesterday. And I was walking, and the only place I could get away was the sun was beating down. But I got lost in prayer, and I didn't notice till on the way back that I was really, really getting overheated. I didn't take a bottle of water with me. I was just walking and talking to the Lord about every one of you by name. She was asked, why didn't you call for prayer? You're going through surgery. She said, my pastor praying for me. She knew her name is being called before the Lord for whatever her needs are. And every one of you in this room by name. Hallelujah. Not just, oh Lord, bless the church. Bless the people. No. By name. By name. And then I'm going to come in and take the responsibility for that I've trusted God with. And that's you. Your hang-ups, your problems, your pain, your pressure. At some point, Jesus has to be relevant. His words have to be meaningful. His cross and death has to be worth more than self-pity. You've got to quit thinking about yourself. The only way to run with persistence, that's what patient means here. Lay aside every weight. That means cast those burdens on the Lord. You can't run carrying that thing. Give your past to God. It's gone.
Yes, it is.
But your future isn't. Can you say, man, he's got something for you. But you've got to forget the things that are behind and reach forth to the things that are before. You just can't sit and keep looking backward and pine away. If you're still alive on this earth, God has a purpose for you. And he said, I know. You may be confused about it, but make no mistake, I'm not confused. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm not going to punish you for your past if you repented. I'm going to use that as a testimony that I can pull you out of the horrible pit, put your feet upon a rock, and put a song in your heart. And when I'm able to do that, you become an automatic witness without even trying. The humble shall hear thereof. Not the positive humble. This word in the Hebrew means to be crushed by the pressures of life. They're going to hear that God pulls somebody out under that pressure. And they're going to be glad and take courage. Because if God did it for David, God will do it for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. What a glorious God we serve. If I could find my glasses, I'd hurry and finish this sermon. That is a good thing I have a watch. That clock has stopped. What a comfort. Wow. I like it from the Amplified as we close this morning. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain and undaunted. For I have overcome the world, I have deprived it of power to harm you. In other words, if you dare to follow Him and trust Him today, the world can't hurt you no more with that junk. Amen? I like Philip's translation, said, never lose heart. I've conquered the world. I've conquered the world. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. It's our legacy. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let. You know what let means? That means you and I are going to make a choice. If you're going to let something happen, then you're choosing to allow it. Amen? So he says, I want you to make a choice. This is the choice. Let not your heart be troubled. I had to make a choice yesterday. In order to be here this morning, it was that bad. Brother Bimble, have you been to the point you didn't want to preach anymore? Not one time. Not one time. Hundreds of times. They threw Jeremiah. You know, he didn't get one convert. He couldn't get out in that house away from people. They threw him. They slapped his face. Called him unpatriotic because he said judgment's coming on this nation. Ungodly and unpatriotic. Cast him into a dungeon. And this wasn't one of those nice ones that had kind of like a cage underground, you know. When he hit the bottom, he sank down in the mire. And he had to eat in there, sleep in there. And what he ate was the bread of affliction, a coarse piece of bread and a little drink of water, just to keep him alive in his suffering. That's what he got for inviting people to come to God so God could come back to them. To get rid of their sin so God could forgive them and restore them. That's what he got. He didn't build that mammoth church. He didn't ride in a Mercedes Benz or a limousine. He didn't have his own personal jet that when the pressure builds, he can whisk away to some island. I remember that. And I guess I love him. I don't know him enough to not. I love him because you're supposed to love everybody. But, you know, the guy, the head of our organization now, I was working and pastoring, bivocational, working, working myself down and preaching myself down. And Saturday when everybody's off, I'm working, amen, studying for Sunday, amen. And Sunday when everybody's off, I'm preaching the gospel and praying and counseling. I didn't have a day off. And on the 4th of July, I'm at work. And on Labor Day, I'm laboring. Christmas Eve, I'm at work. And Sunday, I'm back here. So if you don't think pressure builds in our marriage, in our home, in our family, in my body, well, why did you go to work? Because people quit coming to church. And people quit giving. I'm not going to beg for my family or my God. I'll work right now. I'm 65, but I'm still alive. Ain't no jive. Praise God. I'll go to work right now before I'll beg for God or see my family do without because of people's irresponsibility. Can you say, man, do you understand what I'm telling you? I will go to work tomorrow. I'm a man of my word. I've done proved it for 12 years. Pressure builds. And if it wasn't for what Jesus said he would give me, if I would put my trust in him. 1,700 pastors in America alone, not globally, in America. 1,700 will leave the ministry every 30 days. The divorce rate among pastors is on the rise because of the pressure on the family due to what is expected of one man to do in a church. I do not intend to lose my marriage because I'm a pastor. I don't believe that's God's will. Can you say amen? I do not intend to give up, get discouraged, and become a closet alcoholic, as many pastors are. I do not intend to become a closet victim of internet pornography, like many pastors are. I need to be right with God. Amen. This peace is too precious to me. Do you hear me? This peace is too precious to me. This peace is too precious to me. So when David's enemies saw him, they had heard him talk about flying away. And they thought, we really got him now, because this God he had such faith in, he's not got that kind of faith anymore. And they said, why don't you flee away like a bird to your mountain? Devil will jump on that. If you stay in it, he will jump on it. And David said, those days are gone. That was then. This is now. Can you say amen? How say you? Listen to how he answered it. How say you unto my soul, fly away to your mountain. I'm not going to have to go nowhere. Hallelujah. God, amen, is with me. And God will see me through. And God is my shield. God is my buckler. God is the lifter of my head. God is my defender, and my provider and my protector. How say you unto my soul, how dare you suggest that I run and run and run and run? I'm not running. That was then. This is now. You know what we used to sing in our church before we quit? It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to. Run if you will. But I came here to stay. Remember that 50s song? Say, yes, I'll be here when the morning comes. Be right here and I ain't going to run. That was about a haint running you off. There's more than, no, this is no haint. The devil's for real. And if you want to know how real he is, just start praying in intercession for breakthroughs to come. And you will see him rear his ugly head. Things begin to happen when the anointing begins to flow. And the devil knows if they keep praying like that, God is going to answer those prayers. God is going to deliver captives. God is going to set people free that are bound with chains of darkness. One of the most downloaded things on our website is this man making free all of these illustrations. And right now, one of the most demanded, if you go to our website, it'll show it, isn't it? It's beautiful. Praise God. It's a chain being broken by the power of God. Amen. With the quote about the anointing that breaks the yoke. Can you say, man? When God comes through, when God shows up, when God shows out, chains are going to be broken. So the devil says, I want him to quit praying. I want them to quit praying. Because if they keep it up, all heaven is going to break loose. You didn't hear me. All heaven is going to break loose. Hallelujah. Ruth, I pray for your daughter and her husband. I pray for your grandson. As I pray for you, I don't just pray for you, but your household and your children and your grandchildren and your cousins and your uncles. I'm going to have to get me a parasol in the sun. Put on some copper tone because it takes a while. Hallelujah. But listen, it's the only way that real victory is going to come. Hallelujah. It's when, it's another sermon. Don't even get me started. But I'm going to tell you, I got to put on my shoes of peace. I got to stand my ground. And that's the only reason I can minister to you today. I wish I had his life. Honey, get my peace. You won't need my life. You'll have God's peace in your life. And wherever you are, it'll be sufficient, just like his grace is. Let me close with this as we get ready to close today. Praise the Lord. The Amplified said, "My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Stop allowing yourself. Stop allowing. There's that "let not your heart be troubled." Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. If you don't take responsibility, if you don't, as a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. Because you can't have this peace without Christ. Stop allowing. When you realize you're allowing it, it's the first step in getting rid of it. But you've got to take responsibility for it. You're not a victim of circumstances. You're a victim of choices. And Jesus says, you know something? You got a choice. You can go home and be depressed. You can go home and be expectant of my goodness in your life. And David said, if I didn't expect that, even after seeing that giant fall and seeing God vanquish my enemies, I would have been crushed by the pressures of life. Psalm 27:13 said, I had fainted, been crushed by life unless I believed to see the goodness of God. Where? In the land of the living. Everybody say, not in the sweet by and by alone. Did you know you won't need supernatural peace there? There won't be nothing to bother you. I saw a t-shirt. I didn't buy it, and I wished I had. I wore it this morning under my shirt, and I'd have showed it to you right now. Had a it was a black background with a big green frog on it. And said, I wish I was a frog. Then I could eat what bugs me. It's not that easy. Can you say, man? You don't have to be a frog and eat what bugs you. You can be a Christian who decides in your life to believe that God has something better for you than looking back at your past, looking in at your failures and faults. You can look up to Jesus. Hallelujah. Lay aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset you, and run with perseverance the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Consider him who suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. Get your mind off of you and your pain and on Jesus and his suffering for you at the cross. The moment you do, your pain will lessen and your praise will rise up and transcend your pain. And when you begin to worship him right where you are, amen, he's going to grant his peace to you. Can you say, man, not as the world gives, give I thee. Hallelujah. And that depression's going to have to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 God is so good. Hallelujah. I don't want to be a statistic. 20,000. You say, Brother Bimbo, they must not have been called. Honey, you don't understand. There are plenty of called people that get discouraged and quit. Being called don't make you super. It makes you responsible and accountable. But it leaves me just like everybody in here. But I have Christ. I have Jesus. And I have to do more than preach this. I have to walk it out. And if I don't tell you about my pressure, then you think there's a place you can get above it. Until you get above it, no. You just get through it, because God's peace comes when you commit it all to him. I got to tell you this. I've told you so many things, but I had a big mirror in front of the desk where I make my radio broadcast. And my wife needed the big mirrors we decorated. And I actually missed it. It was a blank wall there. And I had a big map, bigger than that map of the world. And I replaced the big mirror with a map of the world. I didn't think much about it. I was just filling the space. But it occurred to me that while I was making the radio broadcast, every time I looked up, I saw me. I saw me in the mirror. But now when I look up, I don't see me anymore. I see the nations of the world where the gospel is going. And I thought, Lord, that was a good trade. That wasn't just Pamela rearranging. That was you getting me out of the picture and showing me the world. And now it don't matter what they think of me, if they think high or low or anywhere in between, as long as they hear about him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, I thank you that every time I look up from my microphone, I don't see me preaching. I see the world that needs the gospel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And every time I get me out of the way, it's easier for that peace to come. It's easier for that peace to come. I want to be your pastor. Hey, I'm no quitter. I'm going on 40 years of it. That's a long time. Can you say amen? Has it been easy? Of course not.
You wish me it all just...
No, I love you. God sent me to you. Before the world, anyway, he sent me to you. And I've known some of you for... Oh, my goodness. I remember when Jimmy came in. Wow. Oh, boy. There's your real project, God. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad he came in. This guy over here behind the burning bush here, Doug, our minister of media, when he first showed up, I thought, man, I don't know if he came here to find Jesus or just making Google eyes at Sherry. Time will tell. Come to find out it was both. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he saved Doug from a life of sin? Hallelujah. Brought him into his kingdom. Praise the Lord. When Joe came back, he said, I'm coming back. He wasn't talking about coming back to this church. He said, I'm coming back to God. Can you say, man, I'm coming home to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This man right here, the devil would sift him as the wheat. A long time ago, would love to crush him with the pressures of life, but he's sitting here this morning. God has sustained him. Amen. Ask him about faith today. He won't tell you about his strength. He'll tell you the Lord is a shield for me. He's my glory, my only hope. He's the lifter of my head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Dale, you're here today because of one reason. The Lord is a shield for you. He's your glory. And he's the only one. None of us can do it. We try to do it all the time. Sometimes we try too hard. But I want you to know there's one who can and will. And he's here today. Can you say amen? And he's going to turn your test into a testimony. Put the song back in your heart, and many are going to hear of it and be glad, because they're going to say, if God pulled them through that, her through that, there's hope for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's hope for me. There's hope for me. There's hope for me. Will you stand today? The Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Make no mistake about it. The shield of faith is not how strong your faith is. It's how faithful your God is. The Lord is a shield for me. That is the shield of faith that the New Testament is talking about. If you're trying to build some force, be careful. You're getting into forces and powers and making yourself something big. Honey, you'll never be in the God class. That's the glory of the gospel. You don't have to be accepted in the beloved, to be brought into his royal family, to be loved along with his son, and to be helped with every need that you have, because you have a father who loves you enough to reach way down to help you and deliver you. I'm here today for one reason. I have a defender. I have someone. Hallelujah. The Bible, listen, everybody say the ark as we close. That gopher wood box with that golden lid called the mercy seat. Two seraphim molded into the golden lid, looking down. They're not looking at each other up unto heaven. They're looking down at the flat part where the blood would be sprinkled. Because God said he would dwell between the seraphim. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They're looking for one thing. They're looking for the blood to be sprinkled. Can you say amen? And when that happens, he said, salvation has come. Glory to God. Handa barosha, when that's received, salvation has come. Glory to the Lord. I'm so glad that Jesus is my mercy seat, that Jesus is my jubilee, that Jesus is the one that I'm looking to on the cross dying for me when I'm under pressure and pain, because it decentralizes me and puts him where he ought to be all the time, and that's in the center of my life. Healing is going to come when you just stand in those hobnail boots. The preparation of the gospel of peace means that you have that peace to demonstrate. You don't just preach it, but you demonstrate it. Praise God. And it's real. And somebody here today is going to begin to seek him till he come and rain righteousness on you, because it opens the door for what follows immediately. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. It's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. There's, after that peace came and deliverance, then the joy came up in song and praise in David's heart. God's going to give you a song if you'll trust him. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I'm with you to deliver you. I'm with you to deliver you. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. How many people in this room? Is there anyone here that needs Christ as your Savior? Is there anyone here that's away from the Lord and you want to come home? You want to come home like Joe did to God. You want to come home. You want to come home. Anyone in this room? Anyone in this room? How many then? Yes, ma'am. You want to come home. Not just here, but home to the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad you came today. I didn't preach this to you personally. I preached it to everybody and to myself. But God is calling you personally right now. Would you just come and stand with me? You know me. And this is Brother Dula's daughter. And we go way, way back. And when Brother Dula, I hadn't seen him for years, but one thing he wanted, and he always felt at home in our church. Not because of me alone, but because of the people and the way they loved and cared. And there was no black and white in that church way back when there was still a lot of prejudice going on. It was different there. At one point, we became the Oreo Church. They called us because we were two-thirds black and one-third white, and didn't bother me at all because we were all God's children. We all have the same needs and we all bleed red. Hallelujah. Praise God. And his red blood saves us all. Glory to God. Stretch your hand this way. This is someone God is calling today. Hallelujah. First, his peace comes when righteousness is restored, and then joy in the Holy Ghost. And this woman wants it back. She wants it back. I'll go back to my father's house. I'm not worthy to be called a son. No, no, no. You can't come that way. Amen. He saw him a long way off, ran to him, fell upon him, and kissed him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he said, get the ring and put back on his finger. Put the robe back on him. Put shoes on his feet. Hallelujah. Amen. And kill the fatted calf for this my son, my daughter, which was away, is coming home, coming home, coming home. Father, this young woman is coming home. She's had enough of the world to know what it's like and to know the devil is a liar and it cannot satisfy to leave you empty. But Lord, you come to fill us to the overflow. Fill her. Not only, Lord, restore her, but fill her in the name of Jesus with your Holy Spirit. And let the joy of the Lord be her strength as the peace of God just captivates her mind and soul this morning. And let her walk out of here with an expectation of good and not of evil from your mighty gracious hand. Let her run with patience the race that is set before her. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for her and for what you're doing for her right here and right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is a wonderful restorer. Hallelujah. He restores our soul. Praise God. And now the Lord, God of Jacob, defend thee. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing this song before we go. God is so good in here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord.